You know, in the context of my assembly, I was thinking, you know, of our discussions yesterday. And we talked about, you know, that little confession of Peter, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When we get to the book of Acts, we see a tremendous demonstration of the power of God in the inception of the church. It should really excite you, young people, to consider that the Lord would say that I will build my church, and the administration, the gates of Hades, the authority of the powers of darkness will never be able to prevail against it. And I believe that God showed here at the very inception the greatness of his power regarding the Lord's assembly. Imagine the Spirit of God coming like a mighty rushing wind. Imagine cloven tongues hovering over them, filling the entire place, filling these individuals. Imagine now devout men who were at Jerusalem, and don't for a moment think that this was just happenstance or coincidence. God knew that they were going to be there, and in the presence of these devout Jews was this demonstration of the power of God. Brother Amos said that the Lord ascended to the right hand of God. He had to ascend that the Spirit of God could descend. And these men saw the marvelous power of the ascended Christ. They marveled. I want to ask you, young people, as I look around the room, and I know some of these things may be a little new to some of you, are you marveling at what Christ is doing in his assembly? Even at the very beginning. Do you remember in the book of Genesis that God confounded the language of men? They tried to build a temple, a structure up to heaven, and he confounded their languages. Here in the day of Pentecost, he unites that language that it could be heard about this message, the resurrected Christ. And Peter later on speaks of that, points them to that there's a Christ, a man in glory, and the Spirit of God has come. I wonder, and I want you to take this, but I know our time is gone. Are you marveling at the Lord's assembly?
Can you give me a minute? I wanna go back to Simon's question, because I think we need, I'll just take 1 second to clarify something. As you have heard, and it's a very good question or a statement that he made, that people might come to you and say, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Again, it doesn't matter what anybody tell you, you gotta answer from the Word of God. You know that you have the Holy Spirit because you are believed. But Simon, I want you to read to me verse 4 of chapter 2 of the book of Acts, because I wanna highlight to you the fact that it wasn't just a matter of hearing.
Right.
You want to read to me verse 4 of chapter 2?
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Okay, so number one, we have to keep in mind that they were speaking. It is the miracle of speaking.
That's right.
But just in case somebody said, well, I could stand up here and just start saying stuff to you guys, and they said, I'm speaking in tongues. And that's what's happening in the world around us. The Spirit of God knew what was going to happen. So he said, not only that they were speaking in tongues, these tongues were languages that people understood. So I want you to read to me verse 6. Just read it without a mic. Okay, so now, not only that you were speaking in tongues, these tongues, when I heard it, I could determine right away that this man was speaking Egyptian. I could understand the language. He's speaking it, and I understood it. So that's what really the mark of tongue is. So what you hear now and what you see now around you is not that at all. Somebody standing up speaking some kind of stuff and say, well, he's speaking in tongues. Not at all. Because if he's speaking in tongues, I will understand him, because I think there are enough people around in the world to understand every language. So what you see today is not speaking in tongues at all, according to the book of Acts chapter 2. If they quote that, they don't know what they are talking about. And that's why it's important to take a hold of Scripture. It's speaking, and it's speaking in a language that everybody understands.
And I think, and we do need to close, and I ask you to go over as quick as you can, because we have 600 people here, and we want to be in and out of the lunch line before the adults. But I would ask you to prayerfully read 1 Corinthians 14. If you would read that, you will begin to see there how a gift could be abused.
Yeah, can I just say something real quick? What you said about like the beginning stages of the church. In the beginning stages of the church, the Lord used signs and wonders and stuff like that, such as the day of Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit, you know, made everybody speak in tongues and stuff. But I was looking for the verse back here, but I can't find it, so maybe somebody can help me. But Jesus said something like, when I was a child, I did childish things, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So in the beginning stages of the church, that was like an infant, you know, and the Lord was nursing them along. Now that we are in the end period of the church, things are different now. Mm-hmm. And it even says somewhere else, I was looking for the verse and I can't find it, that prophecy and tongues, they will cease.
Same chapter. Yep. 1 Corinthians 13, and maybe we can talk privately. I wonder if someone would just be free to commit us to the Lord, and we'll move on.